Codger, Hardy, are you there?
I am.
Hey, what's up?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can
we're
you hear me?
We're on the radio.
We're on the radio. We're live.
I know. Does it? It never gets old.
It never gets old. I got my heart is beating fast.
That's, isn't it great?
I got all the feels. Yeah, it is great.
I wonder if you woke up out of you're having an operation and the anesthesia wears off while the surgeons are working on you. I wonder if they say to each other, is this amazing? Oh, this never gets old. I love this. As they're cradling your liver.
I
wonder if
so.
They have that excitement that we have. I don't think we would have it if we were in commercial radio, though. I think we would just be, we would feel like oppressed. We would bond over how awful, like being in the army or something. How bleak our existence was.
Yeah,
I think it's 100% has to do with the type of radio you're doing.
WFMU, there's nothing like it.
Oh, right. Or, you know, and I am here in praise of all, you know, free radio, like college radio and community radio and everything that's, you know, that's uses radio to its real potential, you know, or tries to. Because it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing invention and art form, and it's a powerful thing. And I think somebody like WFMU uses it in a wonderful, you know, chaotic and crazy experimental way, which I think is, you know, there's not enough of, obviously. And you know, that excites me to no end.
I
mean,
agree.
This is it's magical. I keep saying that, but I gotta think of a new word.
I like magical. And that's how I feel. Honestly, I'm going to nerd out right now, but that's how I feel when I listen to your show. It just feels magical. And it's everything you're saying. I feel it when I listen to your show. It's like the beauty of radio, the art form of radio, just playing and being silly and being heartfelt. And yeah, anyway, that's how
Thinking
I feel.
About it the other day, like radio is an interesting invention because when it was invented, you know, there's no real precedent for it. Like really, I was thinking about the only real precedent for the physical thing for the technology is the telephone, and they didn't know what to do on the new like wireless telephone technology, so they thought well theater, so you know, like maybe vaudeville or variety. So then they did like we'll do vaudeville on the telephone, and I think that largely it's radio has stayed that way as like vaudeville on the telephone for a long time, which is a really neat thing, like theater, but it's just in your ear. You're just eavesdropping on the theater. You can't see it. You know, you've got your ear to the wall. You're next to the neighbor of an awesome vaudeville theater.
Yeah, you're like creeping in on it. You think you can be there? Is this meant for me? I think they're talking to me.
I like it because, first of all, theater, it doesn't scare me. But live performance, when the performers are right there and they can see me, just as a shy person, this is slightly difficult. Like I think as a shy person who's also wants to be creative, when I first heard people doing weird things on the radio, it was like a religious awakening or something, because I could eavesdrop, right? You could listen. They didn't know you were listening, and you're right there. It's so intimate. It's like being next to them. Still with theater, there's some distance, right? But this is like being, this is more like it's more. You ever been to like, did you ever see Sleep No More at the McKittrick?
No.
Oh,
sorry.
Too late now.
Keep going though. Keep going.
It's a submersive play, you know, where the play is you're in an old hotel in New York City, and there's a play going on, and the audience, though, they have masks on, and they're real quiet, but the audience can walk around and get right up on the performers. There's no stage. You're just in the same space as the people performing, and you're anonymous, and it's a little creepy. you're physically there, and you're wearing this weird, I feel like, it's almost like you're in some kind of 60s creepy X-rated horror movie, but that sounds good. But I'm a little shyer than that. But it's, you know, you can be right on. And radio is like that, too. It has an intimacy that other art forms don't necessarily have. I mean, if you go to a museum, even you've got other people standing right next to you looking at the same painting and weeping. But at home, you know, you can literally listen to it under the covers. Even television, in my day, televisions were too big to sort of drag under the blanket with you. But, you know, your little compact AM radio or something with an ear, you put the little earpiece in, and the listening experience is particularly dreamy and surreal, because the distinction of where you end and the thing begins is grayer than it is with visual things. You know, you can kind of close your eyes, but the sound sort of gets all around you.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't that true?
It's true. I feel it. It's like, yeah, it is kind of sensual and intimate and creepy and like very, very real, very all around you.
Yeah, that's why those late night UFO, you know, like I forgot Art Bell's show's name, something. People are screaming it on the comment board right now.
They're screaming at me for not helping you, for not assisting.
I always tell them, don't tell me the answer. I love being in a state of confusion and not knowing. It feels better than it's always a letdown when I know the thing. But you know, you can creep yourself out too, like late at night with that voice, you know, that's solitary. And to know that he was like in a trailer in the desert and who knows what's going to creep up on him, right? And you're listening live and they're describing things. And it's fun. It's fun to be scared because you've got that nice, that safe distance. When Orson Welles crossed that line, and he made you think that the play was happening outside of your house in New Jersey. That's different. That's almost like a violation. He did something very wrong there, didn't he, on the War of the Worlds broadcast?
So wrong, but so right. Yeah, do you hate me for saying that?
Because most people knew it was, you know, I'm sure he began by, this is a play, don't be an idiot. But people are. It is funny, though. You can do that with theaters. You can tell them what you're about to see is a play. And this happened with Andy Kaufman all the time. You know, people go, I know I went to see a comedian, so what I'm seeing is an act, and yet I'm still duped. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. You know, that's how powerful it can be. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And we willfully just let ourselves, we succumb to it. Say, please, take me somewhere, please.
Yeah.
And it's an easy way to do it, because it doesn't, I think a lot of times the sound doesn't, you know, the visual things, you can lose somebody. Sound is really important, even in a movie. Did you ever see like a friend will do a movie, and you go, oh, I can't wait to see a movie. And basically it'll be okay visually, and then the sound will be horrible. And that's what like pulls you out. This is almost consistently the case. I'm like, we should make a silent. Do a silent. Just have Elizabeth play her accordion. It'll be beautiful. Just do that.
My dad actually made a film many years ago, and it was exactly what you're saying. It was great, great script, but yeah, it was the sound was awful.
It's good shot, and then you know, someone would be like, "What are you doing here?" You know, wow, that's a lot of room. There's a lot of room in that. Yeah, it's hard to get sound is hard to get right. I was just having a couple of weeks ago. I was desperate for ideas or something, and I'm spending a lot of time just alone in the basement. I might be losing my mind, because what I was doing is I was listening to Scooby-Doo without watching it. Well, you know, I was just listening to it like it was a radio play. And so the sequences when they're like running from ghosts, which are wonderful, which are rich in nonsensical foley. You know, I mean, everything sounds like their answer for everything is like rubbing a balloon. That's not like what a door sounds like, but it's beautiful. It's like a weird symphony, you know, and I realized I kind of almost like the sound better than watching it. It was more, I didn't even know what was going on half the time. And I found that's probably true of a lot of TV shows I watch. I can just listen to them as a surreal sound play. And even if there's not a lot of dialogue, you sort of fill things in. You know how it is.
Yeah, I feel that way with like foreign language stuff. I don't always pay attention. I don't always read the captions, and I just kind of like watch it and absorb it that way.
I do that all the time with foreign language films. Yeah, maybe I'll watch it one time to get the gist. I'm like that. I don't speak Japanese, but I love Ozu films, right? So I'll watch. I've seen them so many times. I know what's going on. So I don't have the. I mean, I just, I don't have the titles on anymore because I don't care what they say.
That's what I'm
I
saying,
want to
right?
hear them.
Okay, I
Just
thought I was
listen.
maybe going to speak into a void right there, and you'd be like, "What, Olivia?" But yes, I don't even really care about what they're saying necessarily.
No, another thing happened. I was watching Tarkovsky's Mirror. I think that's the one, and he recites his father's poetry, and I mean, I don't speak Russian, so I was reading the meaning, and I was reading the translation. The translations were okay and everything, but when he read it, it sounded so amazing. It sounded so great. The rhythm of it, it was just beautiful poetry. I realized I have no idea what it's saying, right? And then reading it is not enhancing the experience necessarily, and that's okay. I mean, I of all people would understand what you're saying, Olivia, because I love poetry that doesn't have any meaning too. I like just sounds and just rhythmic sound and things that sound things that approximate language, and that I really enjoy that. That really gets me going. So I get that completely.
Yeah. We got some pledges coming in. Should I interrupt you and say this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because we have some back thanking. Back thank. Is that
And
the
people pledging during the show. It's the fundraising marathon, and we have like three people who have checked in and said hello.
Okay, yeah. So let's read the let's thank the most recent ones. Well, first of all, I see Charles in
Yeah.
Chicago.
Charles and Kathleen in Chicago and Joyce. Oh, what?
I may have married them.
Really? That is so awesome. What year?
Oh gosh, that's a few years back now. 5 or 6 years maybe.
Did they hear you and like they know
Yes,
Hardy
and they
White?
said, "Would you come to Chicago?"
Oh my God. So you're what does that mean when you could marry people?
Fake
Ordained or
fraud, fake clergy. I don't know. I guess I think they had other legal. I don't think they were depending on me. I think it
That
was
is
more like
so
I wasn't officiating.
cool.
It was more like leading. I was pretending to be.
Did you go to the ceremony?
Yeah, no, we it was in yeah, it was in an art it was like in an art space in Chicago. It was beyond cool.
That
It
is
was
so
super cool,
cool.
and the people there were amazing, amazing people.
I never
I was
even would
blown
have thought to
away.
do that, but that would be so cool to have you marry me, marry a listener.
It was great. Well, I love that because it's like, oh, the whole point, like people getting together to celebrate like love and being together, but it's a hard thing just to like pledge to take care of one another. You don't always think the front end is pretty obvious. The back end is like, ooh, I might need some encouragement there. So I love to talk about that. So it was perfect. I do remember. I don't often drink too much, but I think I remember the drive back from Chicago being hellish.
The next day.
The next day was, yeah. The next day was
I
hellish.
hate when that happens. I don't drink that much in general,
It
and when it
never, it rarely
happens,
happens with me, but
it's like, oh God, why did I do this again? This sucks.
I know it's never that. I can get so happy without like drinking, but what happens is sometimes people hand you, here, have another one. You're not thinking and you're talking and
Yeah.
your adrenaline's going and pow, 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 pow. Joyce in Brooklyn, thank you, Hardy, for your amazing, inspiring show. Always love to listen. Thank you, Joyce. Rich in Brooklyn. I believe in Hardy White, he says. Miracle nutrition is maximum nutrition for the ears, head, and heart. I laugh because T used to introduce me. I was on after Chris T for a couple years, and he would always say maximum nutrition with
Oh
Hardy
yeah,
White.
that's great.
And I never wanted to correct him because I thought that's just as good.
Oh, that's how he didn't say mirror. He thought it was maximum
He thought it
nutrition.
was maximum nutrition, and no one corrected. I didn't correct him. I don't like to correct people. People can call me whatever they want. And then after when I followed Clay for about 5 years, he kept saying I was from Mississippi. He'd be, or now Alabama. He's Hardy's from Alabama. Because Kevin Nutt is from Alabama. So I guess I thought anybody from not from New Jersey.
Anyone with an accent, it's got to be Alabama. Alabama.
So.
Where are you from?
Florida.
Is that okay? Was it okay that
Is that okay to be in Florida? Yeah, I think so. I'm a little embarrassed. You know, I hesitated.
I know. It's like, oh, maybe you don't want to say.
I'm Florida.
I knew this. Florida. Okay.
Yeah, Florida's not bad. It's a little weird. It's a little odd. It's where I'm from has a great, in North Florida, has a great biodiversity. And it's very swampy and strange and mysterious and dangerous. I like that about it. It's creepy. There's alligators and snakes and all variety of things that want to eat you or break down your flesh.
Yeah.
And no, you know how it is. Like this was very, you know, it reclaims life very quickly. You know, if you die in the polar regions, you get the woolly mammoth treatment, right? You're a block of ice, and somebody digs you up. But in the very warm climates, you know, that are swampy, the recycling goes fast, man. They use up, they break down that organic matter very quickly. And because they're God, we got to make more life. Like we're making a lot of life here, so we got to get rid of the old real fast. Now, I gotta tell you, here's a segue. This is gonna be interesting. The arts are more like living in the frozen tundra, and as I feel like that, we do not discard the past quickly enough. And you can see this in our community and college radio. You go, my, I thought there would be more young people. And in the arts, and especially like in like avant-garde and stuff, it's like it skews sometimes old, and the idea is skewed old too. Like we're still talking about Dada and Duchamp and right, and that's 100 and some years ago. So and that's the thing. Like I would radio, and I hope FMU will always do it, but always be on the mission of making it stranger and making more of it reflect. You know, all of us out here and go bravely into the future without, you know, clinging necessarily to old ideas and taking chances and making wonderful mistakes and everything. You know, the past always, even if we don't preserve it exactly, it always turns up in the future. You can't get rid of it. It won't go away. So even if you don't have the woolly mammoth to trot out, the woolly mammoth is contained within the new life. Right? This is the way I look at it. So if you don't have the old Zeppelin album or something, it doesn't matter because Zeppelin now is contained in something new. It's changed. It's the grandparent should be allowed to molder in the grave, I believe. So that's my only complaint about radios. We do not move, even when we're liberated in free form, we don't move quickly enough into the future for me.
Yeah, we always got the past is clinging on to us, dragging us down.
It is too, and nostalgia for it.
Nostalgia, exactly. Well said.
You get you're a victim of the nostalgia of a previous generation too. It's like, okay, I get it. All that stuff's great. Yes, I understand. And so you have to accept all this stuff as canon, which is it might just be stuff that people like for the wrong reasons. And now they just remember it fondly that they do about their, you know, about their old Meemaw or something. Wow, Meemaw's beautiful. So, maybe she wasn't, you know. And I feel that way with nostalgia. You know, maybe those things weren't great the first time around, and dragging them back. And and people, our listeners right now are thinking, man, Hardy's a hypocrite. No, I'm just telling you things I struggle with too, with ideas, right? You know, as you, you know, you want to contribute to the art form, and you find yourself, hey, I'm contributing stale crackers, basically. I love it that you're into that you're a believer in the side of radio that can be inventive and take chances and you know, art oriented, for want of a better word. That's, you know, that as an ideal is really great.
It's cool, and it's like so, it's so rare. I feel, I am nodding to, we can't see each other because we're on Skype, but I'm nodding so heavily, so intently to everything you're saying. It just feels like just creativity and thinking out of the box is so, like, it just doesn't happen. And you feel like the odd person in the room when you have just like a different, you just, you're sick of seeing the same thing everywhere. Even in like creative spaces, people are just doing the same thing, and it just gets annoying.
It is. It is.
At a certain point, you're like, I don't think
it's hard to break out of too. Just as when you try to, it is tough to do anything. It's sort of new, you know, and you try to explore. So well, let's see, where can I go? And then I could play with people's patience. You know, that's, some of the things are risky because you go, oh gosh, I don't want to, you know. Some of the things that we can do to provoke people, get people thinking, are provocative in an uncomfortable way too. So, and I don't always want to go there. Yeah. Always, I've never, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't know how much making people feel certain negative things is always productive, but it has a place for sure.
I always like, I feel like you're just so creative and but like happy and, or not happy, what's the right word? Fun, just like playful. I just think those things are underrated in creative spaces. Everyone wants to be like serious and heady and thoughtful, thought-provoking. And I just feel like people just need to lighten up a little bit. And that's something I love about FMU. It doesn't take itself too seriously.
You can be, and you can do it and not be a Pollyanna. Like there's a way to do it in a dark way.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
That's why I liked a lot of children's shows too, and a lot of old meandering local children's shows,
like
that were kind of strange.
Old kids shows though. New ones are like.
Yeah, no, because they started I don't want to put anybody down, but they started consulting with professional educators and all to make sure they weren't messing children up. And that's like, maybe we should make sure we're not like giving them weird fears. You know, like, why are we set them alone with super sales? Is that like the best thing to do? And so they were like, maybe we should not, like, you know, they should not be alone with super sales. And so they said, well, we'll get professionals involved and everything. And that's great. That's fantastic. But I also believe that kind of like just people trying to come up with ideas like, what would kids like? It's like a great thing too. Because you can get it wrong and get it right. Because kids also, they don't know what they like necessarily either. You know, you're trying to expose them to a lot of different weird stuff, right? And see what sticks. Mr. Rogers was really good at that, you know, with different music genres and everything and different stuff. I mean, it was done in a way that was a little old-fashioned, I think, even for the time. You know, he could have been a little peppier. It was a little strange, but that's all right. He's a Presbyterian minister. We can't ask too much of him.
He was so slow with his movements. I just think of him sitting down and putting on his shoes.
Yeah, right. But he's never going to go like, who did that? So he's not. It's very staid. It feels like you could watch it in church almost. But you know, the spirit of it is right. That, and I've allowed myself as a grown up to still find, I mean, you don't have to be a simpleton to find wonder in things. Just, you know, I don't know. I always thought I was being, some of it comes from me being a little bit anti-authoritarian too. Like, I don't want to be told things. That's a luxury, I guess. I mean, that's a privilege that I'm not, you know, that I'm like that and not in prison. But it's and I'm absolutely serious. But okay, but it's been also been helpful too, because, like, I think, well, you know, this is I want to find wonder and joy in things. Let me slow down a little bit here and let's look at this thing and you know, maybe I don't want my attention distracted towards this shiny thing. And so, you know, I like that. I also come from, spend most of my life in Tallahassee, which is not a very big town. And we, a lot of my friends, we learn to entertain ourselves and make our own fun. And, so that was, that's a big influence too, is making, you know, shows that, you know, only a couple dozen people are going to come to or something. It doesn't matter. You know, you still, you know, put on a play for just a bunch of friends or, and go to a lot of trouble doing it. And, because of the point is the making and the being together and the community of makers. And that's what I like too. That's what, you know, that's what is exciting about the radio. So the first time, you remember the first time that you ever walked into a college radio station, right?
Yeah.
like it was yesterday.
Yeah, I do.
And you were thinking, why isn't everyone here? Like, why aren't there hundreds of people lined up out the door wanting to get access to this space? That's what I thought.
I was thinking, why did it take me so long to find this? It took me, I was like a sophomore in college. So it was like, where was I last year? Why didn't I find this like hidden aspect of the building?
I think I'd already graduated before I got on the.
Really?
Well, it didn't start up until, it was, okay. So when I was an undergraduate, it still wasn't full, our college station at FSU still wasn't full power. It wasn't 24 hours a day. So it didn't become a proper station until I'm thinking like 1988 or something. And I started at 1989. So I would have been out of school already. Mm-hmm. And I guess I was just some kind of weird local person without a job.
That's cool though. So you're there like at the ground zero of the station starting.
Yeah, it was just starting, and I thought, you know, and a lot of, like, cool people and people, music people were starting to show up at the station, and I was thinking, oh, I wonder why the bad people haven't found it yet. Like, I was scared. I was like, I think people with nefarious, like, political, you know, agendas or something are going to find this, because this is like a propaganda cannon. Like, this is like, they just gave us a nuke. Like, I can't, it's a radio station. I really, back in the, years ago, when somebody was staging a coup, they'd be like, get the radio station first. Right? It's like, it's a powerful means of communicating. And I was thinking, why are they've just abandoned it to the, like, music nerds and everything, which is fine. But they did. And then it just stayed that way. Because it is also hard work. I think that chases some people off.
Yeah, it is. It is hard, right?
It is. And it can be and it can be frustrating. You know, walking away from, like, you go on, you do a performance or something, essentially, and you walk away and you go, I wonder if anybody heard it. I mean, not only, you know, not even like it, you go, I wonder if anybody actually heard it. There is this chance that everyone had their radio off. I've thought that. This might be, no one is hearing this. Unless you're making an idiot of yourself, then you're thinking, everyone's hearing this. Yeah. Everyone's heard this. That's another thing that's disconcerting. I mean, I've been on the radio speaking, a lot of it speaking freely like this for decades, really.
Always? And, like, even at your college station?
Yeah. I was just
in
talking.
In 89? Just talking?
The talking started getting longer. It started like at 3 minutes.
That is so
and then
cool.
I was like, I want an hour. I remember one time they said, would you like to host the literature show? And I think maybe the first three episodes I had people come on and read their fiction. And I was like, oh, that was a disaster.
Yeah.
I just filled it up. I was thinking, I'll just vamp for an hour. But it's great because there's no, and I'm sure I was terrible. But the thing is, see, I practiced doing it. Like, who lets you practice doing that? It has to be low stakes. And so I was able to do it. And then, you know, you figure out what works and how to do it. And when you're, it helps everybody, like the audience and the artist. If there's some freedom, if the stakes are a little lower, if you're allowed to, not everything is, you know, perfect, this fear that everything has to be so polished. Oh my gosh, I couldn't make anything under those conditions. I would be a nervous wreck. So,
yeah, I'm already enough of a nervous wreck. I think I like severely would hate myself after I first started doing radio and talking on mic. It was just so nerve wracking, and I would just be like, I think I am total trash and a complete loser. So I guess maybe that's why I kept doing it too, because I knew it was a process of me learning to love myself and accept myself.
And also you're contributing by however you approach speaking on the radio or performing or whatever you do, you're contributing to changing the rules for it too. For instance, you know, there's a prescribed way of speaking, you know, depending on what you're doing. Like if you were doing news radio, so there's like weird, you know, like how the BBC has like that received pronunciation kind of standard BBC accent way of speak, and we have it too for certain radio, and then it changes subtly. So even when it sounds like it's a more casual voice, it's still like, you know, Terry Gross style or some other kind of, you know, it's still a style. So every time that we speak on the mic like this, we're changing the way people speak on radio.
Yeah, it's true. And that was hard too, I think. Just starting, and you know, I was so shy, so high voiced, and so like clearly girl, and and it was scary, and people would correct you and call you. People don't do that. We don't really have the phones at FMU, but that was my least favorite thing, was answering the phone at my college station and having someone be like, "Do you know this band? You should check out this band." It was so aggravating.
The speaking voice thing, though, is particularly offensive because, like, the way that, you know, the kind of, like, that it's like a deep resonant voice is somehow the best for radio or something, which is strange. And because they get annoying, right? That got, you know, those they're so impersonal. They sound, it's not the way people speak. And it's supposed to convey some sort of, you know, gravitas or I don't know what, but it's
suspense.
It comes out of our cultural nonsense, you know. But there's no rules. That's the thing. Everybody thinks that, you know, there's rules and there's books. You know, the rules of broadcasting. And we get real nervous. And even if things are free, you know, they still get nervous about how you do things, because it's got to sound a certain way. And I think that's really interesting. I mean, not everybody can be. I feel like maybe I'm a lot of times a chaotic element in things. And not
you
everybody
take us
can
in
be.
The weeds.
Bills need to be paid. I want to thank more people.
Yes.
Is it bad to go back to the?
No,
I can
no,
thank
no.
them quickly.
Yeah,
and I want to go back to the beginning, because some people made nice comments and also some didn't get thanked last week. And even if I thank people twice, I think that's not even a bad thing. And then also you can correct my pronunciation of names or places if you have special knowledge.
If I know.
I wish everybody was from like Brooklyn or something. And then I would. But Aaron, I do want to thank Aaron from Brooklyn. I want to thank John from Baltimore. I have to go very slowly because, you know, you read somebody's last name by mistake, or it's very possible. So
anything, yeah.
I know. I've messed up. I do not like to make those kind of mistakes. I don't mind mistakes that make me look idiotic, but I don't like the ones that hurt other people. Those
That's
suck.
A good line. That's a good line.
Yeah. Brian in Lolita, thank you. Thank thou for the Thursdays. Y'all are my heroes. Much love, he says. Emma in Gainesville, Georgia, not Gainesville, Florida, the other one. Carmen in Baltimore. Wayne and Catherine in Rockaway. Eliza in, oh, gosh, I hope I get this.
Oh, I see.
Shawangunk, New York.
Yeah, I think that sounds good to me.
Then
Shawangunk.
you say it.
Shawangunk.
Shawangunk. That sounds right. Ridgewood, Sam and Ridgewood, thank you. Robert in Bonaire, Virginia, thank you. Eric in Point Jervis, Port Jervis, thank you. He says WFMU is on 24/7 in our house. That's scary. Mark in Bloomingdale, thank you very much. Sunny East Orange, Brandon, Brooklyn, Melinda, Portland. Oh, I think I know that Melinda.
Yeah, that's it. She
Right?
volunteers. Yeah, she
Yeah.
comes to the marathons,
Yeah,
right?
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. I've hung with Melinda many times.
She's so cool.
Brian in Macon. Eric in Cerrillos. Is that New Mexico? Is that am I saying it right? Vicky
Cerrillos.
in Hounslow. I know it's Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
David in Lexington. Nathan in Brooklyn. I think I know that Nathan too. Andrew in Northampton, Massachusetts. Annie in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Oh, listen to this. Whenever we take drives in the car, Annie, age 10, either listens to Hardy in her headphones or we listen as a family. She has a favorite episode, but I can't recall what it is at the moment. We're also streaming WFMU more regularly in our house, currently listening to John Allen. Excited about that jazz fanny pack.
Aw, that is so cool. I love
Cool.
that.
I like the kids listen.
I love that too. I wish I had heard Hardy White as a kid, I think. I was too lonely and
Yeah.
sad.
I think I might have because my grandfather would give me these cassettes of like old time radio shows, and I'm sure somebody did it in the 40s, and I'm just redoing it. I don't remember. I think that all the time. I go, man, I know I stole all that. I think that every time I, because you know, you just you inspiration and theft. Ooh. That's a fine line. That's a fine line. You don't always know what's in. That happens in songs all the time. You know, you go, oh, I got this song in my head. Yeah, it's been yours and thousands of other people.
I
So
know.
that's, but that's art, you know. Steve in Gutenberg. Oh, that's funny. I didn't mean that. Steve Gutenberg. I have friend, my friends watched, got together and watched all of the Police Academy movies
Really?
over a span of months. And then we all Skyped Michael Winslow, the guy who does all the sound effects from the
That's
Police Academy.
cool. How do you know him?
We
Someone just
don't, but
knows?
my friend just said, hey, would you, we'll give a lot of money to charity or something if you Skype us and we can, you know. After we watch Police Academy 7 or whatever it was.
What? And he was like, sure, cool.
He's so cool. He's so cool. He's a really, really good person. He was totally willing to do it. He's a lovely person. Sarah in Louisville. Oh, that's near me. I'm sharing my stimulus check. That's
Nice.
good. Shout out to Sheila Hardy and Brother Nutt. You're doing heavenly work. Pat in Hillsdale, Andy in Minneapolis, Daniel in Belmore, Curtis in Memphis, David in Glendale, Dave in Brooklyn. Thank you, Dave. Aaron in New Paltz. Church happens Thursdays at 7 p.m., he says. Mark in DeKalb, Illinois. Diogenes, Dr. Diogenes in Philadelphia. Zach in Santa Fe. I love WFMU. Thank you, Olivia. Your show is an absolute favorite of mine, and I look forward to playing your premium in my indoor vegetable garden. Thank you, thank you. Cheers from New Mexico.
Man, thanks for reading that one.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one earlier. I was going, I'm going to read this.
Hey.
Stephen in North Attenborough, Bob Bailey. I think Bob. I don't want to say the second name, but I think the second name's his dog, in East Orange, because I hear from some of these people. But I don't want to. Painter Josh in London, Twyla in Duncanville, Tamar in Jackson Heights, who we know,
yes,
TL
Sam
in
Tamar.
East Village, Matthew in Brooklyn, Michael in New York, thank you, Ron in Tonawanda.
Man, New York has like the craziest names, doesn't it? City places.
It does. It extra, see, it's always like a, I guess it's an extra thing. You like, you steal a place from somebody, and then you're like, what would you have named it?
Oh my god.
Look at that little insult to injury.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. That's horrible.
John in North Bergen, Michael in Philadelphia. Boy, you can see why I'm not on commercial radio. Ezra in Winston-Salem, William in London, Kelly in Lake Hiawatha. It's the reading. It's the real small. I'm making excuses. Mike in New York. Oh, we hear from Mike all the time. Thank you. Mark in Brooklyn, Benjamin in Seattle, Nick in Brooklyn, Bobby in Baltimore. Thank you. Now, some of these people, their comments are thanking other shows, which I love, but I'm not going to, I'm just.
You're going to skip over it for now?
I'm not going to use my precious note. We all love Clay.
I get it.
Dan in Brooklyn, Keith in St. Louis, Andrew in New York, Efren in Bloomfield, Elizabeth in Brooklyn, and then we're back where we started. Do we have any updates? Let's see. I'll refresh and see if we have.
I'm refreshing too. Oh, we do. Yes. Yeah, we got a couple new people
in. Yes, we do. Oh, where did we leave off? What was the last one? Eleanor, did we thank?
There's a lot that have come in. So Robert in Tallahassee.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Okay, you do these because I'm lost now.
Okay, yeah. Robert just came in. He says, I'm supposed to be on a donation probation, but I'm unsupervised and drinking. Love you, my brother.
Oh, awesome.
Thanks to Scott in Minneapolis. He gives you 3 green hearts.
He's a wonderful, wonderful person, and we got to hang out last.
He was at the marathon last year, right?
Yeah. He's super cool. He was a listener, and then he volunteered last year and came out, and it was just, oh, what wonderful. There are some amazing people who listen to this radio station. I'm not just gushing because it's marathon. It just, I get little anime stars in my eyes or something when I think about it. It just makes my heart pound. There's some really cool people. I think young me would have been like, I just not have believed it, you know?
Yeah.
That there was people that felt the same way I did about some things and radio and nonsense. And it's just really heartening. Rory in Elmwood.
He's giving you a generous donation. Thank you so much, Rory.
Oh, and a generous Alan Watts and Joe Frank endeared me to WFMU. And to my hearty is the soul of FMU. Olivia gets it too. Oh, yay. That's high, high, high praise.
Whew. Yeah, I've got to dust myself off for that one.
Never turn down high praise. I'm gonna. This might be too big for my house, but I'm going to try to drag it in. That's what I look at it. I'm not going to say this giant teddy bear is too big. I'm just going to. It's going to fit. Or I'm going to make it fit. Thank you. Or you want to live up, you go, you just made me. It's what when you do to a child, like you give praise. And sometimes that praise is aspirational. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like people have I'm going to shoot for that. Like you made me feel I can do it. And that's what I've gotten when you get the listeners, the support they give you, the monetary support keeps us physically on the air. And then the other kind of support they give you is just absolutely, it can't be monetized. It's, you know how it is. It's an encouragement. It makes you do it the next day. It makes you want to be better, to take chances. you know, and they give that to you, and that's the greatest gift you could have as somebody who likes what we do, is that
That's
kind
so
of
true.
encouragement.
Yeah, it's so true.
And you know, because it does, you get, like any endeavor, you can get discouraged. Oh, I must think, Tom in Glasgow. Thank you,
Another
Tom.
Another awesome volunteer, usually a staple here at the marathon.
I feel like because I on Twitter, I see him every day. I feel like I talk to him
it's
every
true.
Day.
Yeah,
I don't interact with him, but he's literally like a voice in my life.
It's true.
Every single day. Isn't that bizarre?
And you know how you can see, sometimes you don't even see what people wrote. You see what people liked.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
Oh, yeah, we're on the same wavelength
right.
here. All right, okay, I see where you're at. I see where your head's at. Mine's there, too.
thanks. Fern in New York. Radio is the opiate of the people. Listening to this show is my nutrition of my soul. And because we're doing the old form, there is a little bit of drugs in the – it's like cocaine being in Coca-Cola. The kind of radio that still has a trace, I think. Trace of hallucinogens in it, at least. It's still weird. Jack in Sparta. Your show always opens up my mind and encourages me to be my soul. Excuse me. Love the work you do, Hardy. You're truly one of a kind. I'm choking on the love. Mark in West Orange says, I look forward to listening to Hardy every Thursday evening. Hardy has helped me a lot over the years. I started to listen to Hardy a few months after my suicide attempt. I'm so sorry. And Hardy has helped me cope with my depression. Let me tell you something. And this is the serious part. There's nothing that I am more aware of than the suffering and loneliness of the listener and of people out there. And let me tell you, I acknowledge that almost weekly on my show. As silly as I am, I love you so much, listener, right now, especially the people that I'm not hearing from. And I always want you to know that there's human beings out here who value you, even though we don't know you, because we know your heart and we know that how difficult life can be. And we acknowledge that, you know, and sometimes all you need is someone to recognize the suffering and say, hey, I can't cure it for you. I'm not going to make it go away. We're not giving away magic formulas here. This is a hand-holding thing. You see, you come and you sit here with our goofy people right here, and we'll just do this together. And it'll be better if we're all together at least. And that, I know that helps some, and that you're valuable to who we need you all. And this is a great inclusive. You always will belong at WFMU. We'll never turn you away. You know, any living, breathing, barely living, barely breathing, we'll take you. And we love you when you're your best. We love you at your worst. And we love your inconsistency. And we show you our inconsistency and our weakness. And we show you our all sides of are the most human radio station, being a human all over the place in all its messy forms. And I've met a lot of people at this station, and they are good, bad, and indifferent. They're salt of the earth. They're real.
Oh, that's why we love you, Hardy. That was so sweet. It's been such a hard year for people in my life. And yeah, that means a lot to me. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Hardy.
Eleanor says, Shemp Jive, Hardy, thanks for keeping me sane. Paul in Michigan says, I enjoy listening to Hardy, Butchie, and friends while fishing on the St. Joseph River in Southwest Michigan. Wonderful show.
Oh, awesome. That's cool.
Oh, Mike says, I'm great on Twitter. Oh, that's that. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because I like Mike's tweets. It's true.
That's how it works.
You know, he knows how this works. and a
you
friend of mine said this
Twitter.
In a bar. I call this the this is the Ben the Ben paradox. My friend, I said, I like you, Ben, and he said, you like me because I like you.
Aww.
And he was right. But he said it in a menacing way, like you go, oh. But it was like wonderfully edgy because he was like a kind of a dark guy. But he was right. Like, that's a wonderful thing. It didn't have to be sweet, right? It was this sometimes you can make things, you can manifest things by doing them unilaterally. And artists do that all the time, say, I'm just going to act like the world is like this by myself. And if you want to join me, that's great too. So I do that with friends sometimes. I'm going to act like we're friends. Then you can like me back if you want.
I relate to that so hard. I seek like Adrian, who's on the Blind Tourist. I was like, this girl's cool. You're my friend. And I would just constantly seek her out. And now we're friends. And that's what I do. I think that's how I've made all my friends recently. I'm like, okay, we're friends. We're friends. I'm making it happen. We're doing it. And then we get there somehow.
I do that too. I do. I always have I think they're ulterior motives, but they're not really. But I always have collaborations in the best. I love to work. I could do stuff. I like to make things with people. I love to just sit and do nothing. Don't get me wrong. I love to get together with friends and drink or eat or something. But I really like to work with people. I really like to make things and do creative collaborations together. Because you can still hang out. That's the best. To me, that's the best way to hang out. Because you're hanging out. But then when you're done, you might have a thing. So I always disguise friendships. I'll mix them all up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I want to hang out and make art with people sometimes. Everybody. Even if they don't think they're an artist. It's I think there's something we can make together. I'm always positive there is. And so I go around doing that too. So it was, because I think people crave that as well. Because you don't always have, sometimes you just have a little piece of the puzzle. Not everybody, we're used to people thinking, there's multi-talented people. But sometimes people are walking around with a little bit of something. And if we all put them together, we'd have something cool. Nobody has maybe a complete talent. So it's fun to put all the puzzle pieces together and find other people that you can work with and make a great thing. And, I think we're for sure doing that at the station. not that all the individuals aren't standouts, but that it does feel like that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Oh my God. I was thinking that as you were saying that, you stole the words from my brain.
But because it's true, but it is true. And we're still, how are we doing on thanking? I want to say real quick before, not real quick. Rob in Arlington says, Hardy, you're a man. Sorry, you're the man. Oh, well, that's true. I'm the man, you're the man. Be afraid of the man. I could be too. I want to read I forgot to talk about my premium.
Oh yeah. What is your premium?
Well, first of all, one of the reasons I was not talking about my premium is because it was not done. I was struggling. I was struggling with it. I wanted to do a story record, but I was having trouble doing a fresh one. So I put together, it's kind of a best of, but it's a lot of segments that are all kind of could have been on a kid's story record or old time radio thing. Right. So they're all... So, for instance, the first one is sort of like an Aladdin story record parody is the first cut. There's a couple songs that I made that are fake radio, TV show themes. There's a couple segments that are like when kids would narrate news stories on Captain Kangaroo. That's a form.
This sounds awesome.
So it's those, all those together and all, I guess there's about, there's a bunch of cuts, maybe 40 cuts.
Do you have, is it like a whole, do you have a sound story going on? Do you have Foley or music?
Yes, and most of them are Foley heavy. A lot of them, the ones that had the most, that were conceived like that with the, I do this ongoing Blue Beauty, which is based on the Black Beauty stories, movie. I guess it was a movie. I had a story record, Black Beauty.
That was the horse, right?
It was a horse, right? And I don't even remember what the story is.
I don't remember.
It was getting lost. It was getting lost and stolen all the time. Everybody, crappy horse owners in these movies and everything. So I did a parody of one. Not really parody. I don't know. I just do it. It's a, you know, when you steal something and you repaint it so they won't know you've stolen it. That's what I do. It's not really parody. It's just the same. It's the same thing. So I've done one called Blue Beauty, but Blue Beauty isn't on here. But another weird kind of one like that is. And then there's one, I do some that sound like old Globetrotters cartoons. So there's one of those on there.
Forty tracks. That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's I make cool. these things. I spend all these times like doing these certain segments for the show, right? And I'm like hours and hours recording and writing them, and then they're like a minute, it's like two minutes.
Yeah.
And I go, oh man, ow. But when you string them together, it's not too bad. Now I don't really do that for shows. I'll just play the 2 minutes and I'll talk. But this is all the like little bits easily. So if you just like, you know, want to go to a little bit that you remember hearing on a show and like, and want to play it for a friend and like look at their face and watch them not laugh as you're playing. The old comedy record. Hey, listen, not right here. Listen.
That happens to me too often.
Yeah, I try not to do that. It happens now with memes. Look at this. Look at this TikTok video. Look at that dog.
Oh, I know.
Look at the dog's face. So I don't do that anymore. But anyway, this is an album you can force on people. It's a CD. It's not proper. But you can have it pressed into vinyl if you'd like. I guess you could do that on your own.
This sounds like so much fun. I'm so excited to hear this.
Oh, it's not bad. It's a car. You know, I always think of car trips, too.
Yeah.
You know, I always have that in mind. Going to slide. This is the thing. My approach to radio is this. You might be on a car trip where I have to keep you awake. You could also be in bed where you'd like to go to sleep. So I'm like, how can I keep you awake and lull you to sleep at the same time? So I don't know. I don't see. This
doing
is why my show sounds strange.
Doing a car trip with you, like a road trip, would probably be the best. This is like, it's one, Getting Married by Hardy White. That sounds like ideal. That's my goal. And then doing a.
There's somebody on the comment board. I'm not looking at it right now, but we could. But I bet anything there's somebody's listening who's been on a car trip with me who can confirm or deny that.
I'm almost positive.
But we'll see. I don't know if that's true. I wonder if it's true. I try to be good. I know when not to talk on car trips. Let's put it that way.
That's good. Yeah. You got to know your audience.
Oh, yeah. I try to. It's hard on radio to look over and see if someone's bored, but they have an off button, which I can't see them use. Right? So no, because my feelings would be hurt if you went like, shut up to me in person. I go, I'm sorry. I know I talk a lot. But it's on the radio. It's fine. Like there's. You know, okay, not my cuppa, or too much, and that's fine. I don't even hear it. I don't see it go away. There's no little thing that disappears.
We only have 45 seconds left.
Oh, then people need to know that they're listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU, East Orange, MFU, Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide, where you can still pledge. Please come on there, support that Hardy White show. And we love you so much. And this has been, I love visiting with you, Olivia. I can't wait to see you in person, share a meal. And
I know.
That's
going to
be
too.
Great.
That's going to be really fun. Thanks for having me on. This was just so much fun to be part of your world. I listen every week, and it's just so cool to be part of the atmosphere for a second. Alrighty.
All right. Thanks so much. See y'all next week.
All right. See ya. Bye.
original True Light Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana, and their Easter Rock, recorded by Chris Brown, listener Chris Brown, in April 2019. He went to that church over there in Louisiana and recorded that and sent us that track and allowed us to put it on the Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast Premium for this year, the Pentecostal Pandemonium.
Woo-hoo! Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yours for a $75 pledge or more.
Or more.
Yes, oh, more. Here or on more. Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast on WFMU, we have the Amen Corner here. My name is Kevin Nutt, Brother Allen, and our co-host, Brother Scott.
Yeah.
You're on 3 to 6 on Wednesdays now, correct?
I am 3 to 6 on Wednesdays now, and thank you for referring to Alan and me as the Amen Corner. I've never been part of an Amen Corner before.
It's wonderful.
This is a thrill.
You know that. Scott is our volunteer coordinator. He's the effects pedal associate and the Skeletor crew dude man.
I'm one of those dude mans. Yep.
That's right. Yep, really excited about our premium this year, our second and final show of the 2021 marathon. Bless everyone that's listening. Thank you for listening this year. We're just so happy about that. And, we have two prizes we're going to draw for at the end of the show. Both of them two CD collections by Brother Brett Bartlow, totally unreleased killer gospel. The gospel of Songbird Records, 56 tracks. And I'll Be Free, various labels, 46 tracks will be drawing for those at the end of the show. $20 pledge will get you qualified for that. And we're going to go right back into things here, Scott. We've got also from our premium track, Pentecostalism, the Day of Pentecost, calling down the Holy Ghost, calling down the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. That's what it means, being possessed by the Holy Spirit.